All right. Today we have a presentation on working step 4. I will turn the time over to Claudia for the presentation.
Hi, everybody. I'm Claudia, recovering COSA.
Hi, Claudia.
Hey. I am going to talk a little bit about the sexual inventory piece of step 4. But first, I just wanted to welcome the new members of the Tucson Step Study. I'm really glad you're here. I heard some new names, right?
Yes.
Okay, welcome. I knew we needed to talk about the sexual inventory piece. And I had done a sexual inventory about 16 years ago, so I didn't really remember it clearly. So I spent a little time today, and I filled out the form, and I found out that I didn't like the form that we're using, but that's okay. And I'm going to start by just sharing with you what I wrote. I only did one person, and that's my husband, who is who happens to be a sex addict. So that's who the person is all along the way. We ask ourselves what we did. First, I could have been more open with sexual matters. I was inconsiderate, self-seeking, and I was in fear, which is one thing that I added. It hurt him, it hurt me, and what I could have done, not should have done, because I don't do shoulds, is I could talk more about my feelings, wants, and dislikes. Second, I was often unwilling to move out of my comfort zone sexually. I was selfish, I was inconsiderate, I was self-seeking, I was in fear. It hurt both of us, and what I could have done was I could do what I need to move through the fear instead of getting stuck there and just using an excuse. Third, my history makes the idea of sex sometimes distasteful or objectionable. I have not always shared my true feelings. I was dishonest, I was inconsiderate, I was in a lot of fear. It hurt both of us, and what I could have done was I could have opened up and shared all my fear and shame and talked about how much I wanted to change and how much fear I how far I have come. A lot of times, there's nothing wrong with my actions. What I find objectionable is that I'm not honest. I'm not really leaning towards. I'm leaning away from my husband. And the fourth, I set myself up as mother. I told him what to wear and what to do and how to do it. I was selfish, I was dishonest, I was inconsiderate, and I was bitter, and I was in fear. I also got angry at him because he treated me like a mother. It hurt both of us, and what I could have done and did do was begin to work with my husband on a more equal relationship. Fifth, I have not spent enough quality time with him, selfish, inconsiderate, and the relationship was selfish. It hurt both of us, and I could have placed a higher priority on our relationship. Sixth, I was not asking for what I wanted and needed, and I was inconsiderate and in fear. It hurt both of us, and I could have been more transparent. Seventh, I often felt better than him. I was inconsiderate and self-seeking. It hurt both of us, and I could have focused more on his assets and all he does for the relationship. Eighth, I did not accept him as he was or is. I was selfish, inconsiderate, and there was a lot of bitterness there. It hurt both of us, and I could have done more work on acceptance. Ninth, I was often not honest with my feelings, selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and in fear. It hurt both of us, and I could have been more vulnerable. I resented his relationship with his son, which made me selfish, inconsiderate, self-seeking, jealous, bitter, and I was in fear. It hurt all three of us, the son and the two of us. I could have prayed for his son. I could have closed my mouth, and I could have let my husband be where he was. A lot of times I just think my husband should be where I am or further along than I am, and I can't let him be learning a lesson that I think he should already know. I sometimes put service before our marriage, selfish, inconsiderate, bitter, and there was some fear there too that I might be giving up something I wasn't willing to get anyway, I was also afraid of being controlled, and I could have talked about this sooner. Again, a lot of my problem is I didn't talk, I wasn't honest, I wasn't transparent, I wasn't vulnerable. And the last that I put down this afternoon was I tried to control his sex addiction and his recovery. I was selfish. I was inconsiderate. I was in fear. I hurt both of us, and I could have focused on my own recovery. So what was important to me is to realize that that old inconsiderate checkbox was checked off every time but once, I think. And I have never thought of myself as an inconsiderate person. And I am not inconsiderate unless you're talking about a sexual relationship. And I get into, it seems like when I am in a relationship that has sex involved or even male-female attraction involved, I get real selfish, and selfish causes me to be inconsiderate. I am definitely out for Claudia. Claudia is my main priority when I get into a relationship like that. And that's what I think is one of the things that I think is so valuable about a sexual relationship. There are many things valuable about a sexual relationship. But that's one of the things I find really valuable about the sexual inventory. I've heard that my defects of character show up where I am really safe. They show up at home, and they show up big time when I am in a sexual relationship. I have expectations that I would never have in a regular relationship with a friend or whatever. I have fears that I would never have with a friendship. And I do crazy things. I have never been obsessed about a friend. Maybe you have, but that just hasn't been my picture. But man, you throw sex in the mix, and I obsess, and I wonder. I think I'm really not good enough in a friendship. I might think I'm maybe not good enough. In a sexual relationship, I'm positive I'm not, and I'm positive that my main job is to keep that not enoughness from my partner. I don't want my partner to ever know I'm not enough, because for me, in a sexual relationship, it's all about being on a ladder. And I want to make sure that my partner is on a rung below, not too many rungs below, but maybe one or two rungs below. I have to have the upper hand in a sexual relationship. That is not true of my friendships. What I have started to learn with my husband is to do things a little different, to lean in, to be more vulnerable, to talk about what's really going on under the surface, to talk about what I feel instead of what I think. There's some recovery literature, and the writer talks about how he and his wife have learned to talk about what they feel instead of what they think. Because they can argue all day long about what they think, but they can't very well argue about what they feel. And I am learning to do that in my relationship with my husband. If I say, I think you should go to more meetings, I'm skating on really thin ice in my relationship. And that, for me, that's a red light. But if I say, you know what, I'm starting to get really, really scared. And I'm really talking about my fear rather than I'm talking about my fear, so he'll go to more dang meetings, you know. I have to really be careful of my motives when I'm in a relationship like that. Sometimes I can do something that's 100% wrong, and it's okay if my motives are clean. And so it's not wrong. If my motives are out of love, I've heard that anything that's done out of love is going to turn out okay. And I hold on to that. I hold on to that. So when my motive is love, I'm good. And I am done after 12 minutes. So I think I'm going to quit here, and I'm going to turn it over to Beth.
Thanks, Claudia.
Thanks, Claudia.
Hi, I'm Beth, recovering COSA. I'm new to step four, and this is my first time doing a sexual inventory, and I was asked to share kind of how I approached it, and I'm still learning how to approach it, but I thought I would tell you just some of the things I'm learning about how to answer these questions, like who have I harmed or who has harmed me and the cause. I started to do the work, and, you know, I'm going to be as honest with you guys as possible, but I thought at first, my God, I'm such a giving person sexually. I've harmed myself more than I've harmed anybody else. And so I started to really put myself in there. And, you know, I had unprotected sex at an early age, or I had disregard for my safety by having one-night stands. I didn't think I was manipulative, but really, did I really use sex to get more love? I really wasn't in it for the sex part. I wanted the touching and feeling and the love and the tenderness. So was I inconsiderate just to another partner? But I kind of stopped there. I didn't know where else to go because I started to think back of husbands or partners or anybody to go, did I harm them? And I couldn't figure that out. So I had some really interesting questions from my sponsor that I thought once I started to really answer them, it helped me understand where, and I knew some of this before, but my approach and thoughts about sex. And then that's helping me get to kind of the harm. So one of the questions was just think about how I have come to understand sex. So I'm going to just share mine. I was ignorant about sex. I felt very naive and uneducated, and I just experimented. I came to have sex first with a friend, and I felt everybody else was having it, and I wasn't. I guess you could say I didn't want to be left behind. Why wouldn't I want to be left behind? Why couldn't I just be okay with everybody else having a relationship and not me? And it was because it represented to me being wanted. If I wasn't with someone, then I must not be wanted. Versus thinking or coming from an approach, who do I want to be with, or forming an opinion on the traits that I wanted in a person to be with. So I got no messages growing up about sex, so I had to form them from my surroundings and from men, what they wanted in a woman or a girl at the time. And I'll give you a little bit of background, but since I grew up in the 60s and 70s, the message was kind of free love, don't be like your parents, share, and love is good from anybody. Not that everybody was out having one-night stands, but it was a little more free in the late 60s and 70s, that thought. You don't want to be like your parents. So I gained that knowledge about, I thought it was okay to even have a one-night stand, or certainly not to wait till marriage to have sex. Everybody was doing it. I don't want to be the weird one. I want to be like everybody else. I wanted to fit in. So I thought when I actually did have sex, it was just very mechanical. And I got married at 21. I didn't really enjoy the intercourse part of it, but I loved the intimacy or connection, the gentle caressing and just the talking in bed or the touch of another body, things that I didn't get in growing up in a large family. You know, it was always bickering and fighting and punching and, you know, little kid stuff. It wasn't a mom that I remember having to age 7 all on my own before the next child came. It was 6 months or 9 months and the next child came. So having answered this question here helped me understand quite a bit about just how I started to have sex and who I could have harmed beside myself. So again, one of the last things on this question was, it started to change in my 30s when I understood more about intimacy and sexual needs of my own and exploring that it was okay not to please somebody else, because I saw my mom not sexually pleasing my dad, but everything was about him. He was the king of the house, right? The man of the house. Everything was around him, and she always looked great, and she always pleased him. So I thought in order to be accepted, boyfriends from age 18, that's how my sexual needs were kind of, geared. Some of the other questions I answered that I know are going to help me with this is, how is my body image? Am I embarrassed about my body? And my thoughts of body image and looking good was just something was taught from my family, although I never thought I had an issue with it. But as I look back, I always knew it was important not to be too different or to always really watch my weight. Or even more funny, I grew up in an Irish family, so I was really conscientious of how white I was. You know, summertime when everybody was in their bathing suit, I was the girl at the beach that everybody pointed out, look how white she is, you know. So I had real conscious image in the summertime. I always felt I was kind of thin, but I was gangly and white, and everybody wanted that tan girl with the curvy body and the big boobs. So that was my story playing in my head. And therefore, I must not be good enough about getting the guy I wanted. I better be happy with whoever wants me. Okay? So those are the images about sex I grew up with. And then a third question was, do I stand up for myself and my needs sexually? And I can say, no, I didn't stand up for many years because of those two reasons above I was just talking about. One, I felt it was my duty. And two, I didn't even know what to ask for. I wasn't taught about my own body or how to explore it. I thought it was, you know, somebody else is going to teach me someday, or we're just going to grow up together and we'll learn. And my husband and I were both naive about that, and we didn't know how to explore and talk about it. And then what am I ashamed of, I guess, is the hardest question, I guess, for anybody, is sharing outwardly what you could be ashamed of. And I'm going to share two things. And one starts in childhood. I was that kid out of nine that wet my bed for many years. Okay, I was the one, no different than the after-school special, that woke up early in the morning to change or hide my sheets so my dad wouldn't yell at me and shame me every day for wetting the bed. And I loved my mom because my mom was the one who protected me and said, it's okay, don't worry, you'll grow out of it. But I always had this thing about wetting the bed till I was 10 or 11 years old and nobody else. No other friends did. So when it came to sex, heaven forbid, when I found out what an orgasm was, it was like, oh, my God, that might mean wetting the bed or something related to that where it was fear. And so I was ashamed and couldn't tell a partner why, because I loved sex, but I wanted to please everybody. I loved the intimacy part of it, but I couldn't let myself go. And so there was shame there. And the second part was just kind of relating to the first part, was too many partners. You know, I thought from age 16 and a half to 18, I always thought I was a good girl. But did I have too many partners in my head? Did I have eight? Was that too many? I thought of everybody else might have had one. And I got married at 21 and didn't have any other partners, but I thought, oh, my God, nobody can find out how many. But just the shame thing kind of that I had with that helped me a lot. So I'm going to hurry up and wrap up. Is that Bill? I do. If you guys are interested, I'll give you a couple other questions then. What are my core beliefs or just old beliefs about sex? And I guess some of my beliefs were that I need to please others in bed, that my wants and needs come last, that others should know my deepest, darkest worries and help me overcome them, not me figuring out that on my own, or that they should not question them or leave me alone with them. And I guess another one was that I could fake it and hide it because I was all about wanting them to love me and please, and I felt I had great sex in better intimacy, but it was really I wasn't getting what I needed. I was giving a lot. And that wasn't fair to my partners, not only to me. So a couple other questions. Have I treated my partners, have I been selfish sexually? And I guess my answer is no, but I have to put more time around that. Do I use sex for wanting love or feeling love or wanting to be needed or to get something out of it? For me, it was just, like I think I said before, I wanted to be loved or wanting to feel like it was needed. So if my husband, boyfriend, partner wanted sex and I really didn't want it, I never felt this, oh my God, I got to really do this. I always felt, well, it's a job, I'm going to do it. Sure, honey. I would never say no. Okay? I wouldn't. Occasionally I might, but it was always yes. It was every night. We had sex every night. It was never a no. I felt it was my job. So are there times when I pretend to, another question is, are there times when I pretend to be someone I'm not? Occasionally maybe there were. Again, part of that duty to be there. And that goes with the last question is, am I authentic? So for me, the sexual inventory isn't complete. It was getting myself ready to answer it, and that was really looking at history. So now whether I go forward from my young age or backwards from my current age, whichever way, I can really look at my partners and I think, talk about how I've harmed myself or them, what the nature was, what part I played, you know, inconsiderate, frightened, or whatever. And then to Claudia's point earlier, what could I have done differently? And probably that's have a voice, talk, tell my partner what I was afraid of or what I am afraid of, and feel like I'll be accepted for not doing it or just being honest enough. So that's what I did, and I think that's actually helped me get past just who have I harmed as myself. And with that, I'll finish.